All right, good morning once again, everybody. We're going to continue today with our Lenten focus on being awake and aware of God's gifts, the gifts that he gives us through Jesus. Asking ourselves, are we aware of these things? Are we really awakened to all that God has done for us and all that he gives us? And are we living in awareness of these things, letting them impact our lives and change the way that we live and the way we interact with people around us? So today, the focus is going to be on God's gift of wisdom. God pours out his wisdom into our lives. And it's an amazing and wonderful gift that he provides. So let's start, though, with a definition. What is wisdom? I think that's a word that we use in lots of different ways. And actually, when you start looking up a definition of wisdom, you get lots of different definitions. The one I get from Merriam-Webster Dictionary is simply good sense. And I think that's a very common understanding of what wisdom is. We call someone wise if they seem to be doing things that exercise what we believe to be good judgment, or they have common sense. But the reality is that definition, I don't think, is precise enough for us, because it leaves a lot of room for opinion. What exactly do you mean by good sense? Whose good sense are you talking about? Right? Lots of different people have different ideas about what good is. So just to say someone has good sense leaves lots of room for different ideas. There's another common definition that I think is just as subjective. It says the body of knowledge or principles that develops within a society or a period of time. Basically, what that's saying is wise is whatever society says is wise. All the things that we agree are good. And I see a lot of nods out there already, like, you understand the problem with that, right? We don't necessarily all agree on what actually is right and good. When I wrote this down, I was reminded how often I've heard throughout my education that science has proven that life has evolved from microbial life forms, right? And it's just a fact. And you might as well just accept it. I even heard that in my theology classes. This is what science says, so it would be wise to just apply that knowledge. And as someone trained in science, I have found myself saying, wait a minute, there is really no evidence supporting that. Why do we say it's true when the science really isn't even there? Right? It's not just a matter of faith, it's a matter of science. So there's common understanding that people have that's not necessarily true. That definition says wisdom is whatever we as a culture decide we want to believe in, and that's constantly going to change. I'm reminded again of Paul's letter to the Ephesians when I think about that kind of wisdom. So why don't we begin with that passage from Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, when we think about what is wise and what is not. I'm going to read from Chapter 4 in Ephesians, starting in verse 11. Paul says here, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by the hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated and strangers. Am I reading from the right? No, I'm sorry. I'm reading chapter 2. Oh my goodness. I was like, that does not sound like what I was thinking I should say. Ephesians chapter 4. That is right. Wise enough to recognize that. He gave us the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and the deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking in the truth of love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ. There's a lot of things that Paul says, but that idea of being tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and human cunning is that's the wisdom of the world. It's constantly changing, constantly telling you this and that. There's no steady ground there. And that wisdom, that idea of wisdom, is always changing. Paul in this passage calls us to grow up, to mature into him who is the head, into Christ, and speaking the truth in love. And when I think about wisdom, I see both of those concepts within what real wisdom is. It's knowing what is true, first of all, living in the truth and seeking out what is actually true. This is a lost art in our culture today, to actually take time to consider what actually is true. And then the other side of that is love, knowing how to use and apply that knowledge in a manner that our head, Jesus Christ, demonstrated and taught, following his character as we seek to apply the knowledge that he gives us. It's a combination of truth and love. So a more solid definition, I think, of wisdom is this. It says, knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, discernment, or insight. So wisdom isn't just knowing stuff, right? Part of it is knowing what's true and right, but also it's how do you apply it? How do you use it to judge what is good? How do you live out? How do you choose what to do with that knowledge? It's knowing what is true and knowing how to use it well. When we think about who Jesus is, he's the Son of God who lived in the fullness of the wisdom of God with every choice that he made. He had access within himself of all knowledge of all creation, and he used that knowledge to apply it to the way that he lived. So we can say that wisdom is knowing what Jesus would do and how he would respond to every situation. He's our ultimate example of living out wisdom. And he gave us the example of what to do. The Bible declares in several ways that true wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 2:6, for example, says, For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And the Apostle James in James 1:5 wrote, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. What a wonderful promise that is. Ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you. There is no reproach, and he gives it generously. I'm going to take a look next at another passage, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, and see what that tells us about wisdom. Let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. I think this is an important passage about the beginning of gaining wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Understanding this is that we coming to the point in your life of recognizing that God's knowledge is much greater than ours. Right? That's where wisdom begins. It's for us to say, I don't know everything. God knows much better than I do. He knows much better for my life than I do. And I'm going to seek to gain wisdom by setting my own understanding aside and seeking his instead. That's what it means that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Understanding that he's so much greater than we are. And really, and I see in this a description of what happens at the point of repentance. Repentance is that point where we confess our sin to God. We recognize we have sinned against him, and we want to turn away from those ways. That takes wisdom to recognize that God's will is greater than ours, that we're just going to honestly admit where we have gone against his will, and we want to choose his way instead. That's the beginning of wisdom, laying down your own will, accepting that you don't know what's best for you. Your own desires are going to lead you astray. That humility and an attitude of repentance opens you up to receiving the wisdom of God. And so the beginning of a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ is the beginning of gaining wisdom, true wisdom. And as we read in James, God is gracious and generous in sharing his wisdom. Let's take a closer look at that passage from James and extend it a little bit more. So open up to James next, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. James 1, verses 1 through 5. So this begins, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So again, as I said before, James expresses here that if we're lacking in wisdom, just ask God, and he gives it generously. And this is part of his call to us to continue to grow and mature in our faith, to develop steadfastness or perseverance and becoming perfect and lacking in nothing. Wisdom is the path toward righteousness in the Lord, to right living. The more we gain wisdom, that is not just the knowledge, but in how to apply that wisdom, the more we live according to God's will. God will give both the knowledge and the will to do what he wants us to do. We ask in faith, not doubting, right? I've studied this passage many times in terms of what we ask the Lord for, and right, to always be praying in faith that God will answer our prayers. But as I see it in the context of this passage, he's talking about asking for wisdom, not doubting that God will give you the wisdom to know how to live and act in this world. That's a powerful gift from God when you really think about it. How often are we left in situations uncertain on our own? We don't know what the right thing to do is. We don't know how to discern whether it's my will or God's. And yet we have the promise that if we turn to God, he will give us the wisdom. Trust that he does provide that. Trust as you are truly, humbly seeking him, he will show you the path and he will continue to guide you. Yeah.
I find myself praying for wisdom and then I choke when I think, but I like what I'm doing, how I'm thinking, and then I back off.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to let go of.
So you don't want to let go of what you want? Is that what you're saying?
How I know things.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe what the struggle we often have is I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And yet I have to release it to get better wisdom. That is the path to wisdom, to true wisdom, is to release what we think. And it may be there are times that God's going to confirm, "Yep, you're right. The way that you were thinking about that is my way. Go ahead and pursue it." But we have to be willing to lay it down and say, okay, God, whatever you say, however you're going to guide, I'm going to follow that and not cling to what I want. And I find that to be such a common struggle and such a powerful choice that we can make to just let go of our way of thinking and say, okay, God, you teach me, you follow me. That's really what we're invited into through faith in Christ. Right, we're called to be disciples of Jesus, right? And what does it mean to be a disciple of someone? Can anyone tell me? What does it mean to be a disciple?
Study their way and follow them,
right? You become a student of somebody. You do what they do, right? That there's that common phrase, "What would Jesus do?" That's part of it, But it's also coming to understand, how would Jesus think about things? How would he handle every situation? Because we don't have specific examples in the Bible of Jesus applying his wisdom to everything that we face today, right? But we have access to the way he approached every situation, the kind of character he had, the kind of attitude he had toward everything. And we can follow that as well. Correct. Yes, we do have the Holy Spirit to guide us in those unique situations. But we're to be disciples of Jesus. That means lifelong learners from him. He is our example. He is our source of wisdom. I have another passage here for us to look at. Matthew chapter 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus has something to say about wisdom. Matthew 7. So Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And this is probably very familiar to a lot of us. But think about this in terms of gaining wisdom. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him?" And so he's reinforcing several things that we've talked about here. God is generous in giving us wisdom. We just have to ask for it. Seek it out, and he will give it. He is so generous in this. God was so pleased with King Solomon when Solomon was given the opportunity to ask for anything he wanted. What did he ask for? Wisdom. He couldn't ask for riches and power. He asked for wisdom, and God blessed him abundantly with wisdom and everything that came with it. God loves to share his wisdom. And think about what an amazing gift that is. We're talking about the wisdom of the creator of life, who knows every aspect of creation. He has existed throughout all history. He knows what his plans are to come. He knows it all. And he is willing to share all his knowledge and understanding with us and to give us guidance. As people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and open up your life to receiving wisdom, you have a great advantage available to you through your faith to have the very wisdom of God available to you, to have his perspective on the world. That is an incredible gift to have. It's something we have to keep choosing to receive, though, right? God doesn't just implant his wisdom in your brain as soon as you put your faith in Christ, and all of a sudden, that's the way you think. As we've talked about that struggle, right? We all have that struggle with our own desires. It continues. We have to keep choosing to pursue wisdom. It's a lifelong journey. And we don't ever get to the point where you finally have it all, too, and you're just done learning. We have to continue throughout our lives, continuing to follow Jesus and the example that he sets. The gift of wisdom is a profound and transformative gift that allows you to see the world through a divine lens, guiding you towards God's righteousness and purposeful living. And so Proverbs 4, 5 through 9 says, "Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you do, get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown." Wisdom is portrayed throughout Proverbs as this is a lady, a woman to pursue, who gives this wonderful gift, the most amazing gift, and we ought to treasure it. How much do we treasure wisdom in our lives? It's such a valuable and important gift. And then we have to ask, where do we get wisdom? We've already mentioned a little bit, Wendy brought up the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't just have wisdom on our own, right? And we all have this sinful part of ourselves, this selfish part that wants to go with our own way of thinking. And so we have to receive from God the gift of even desiring God's wisdom. Let's take a look at what John 14:26. It's a passage there about the gift of wisdom from through the Spirit. John 14:26. Jesus says here, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That is a wonderful gift. He will give you the Helper who will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Right, so not only does the Holy Spirit teach us, he's going to keep reminding us. And how often do you feel like, oh, I've learned this great thing. Am I going to forget about it? When am I going to remember this? We don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit's still there, and he's going to continue to remind you again and again. And as Wendy pointed out, he will teach you how to apply that insight to new situations as well. Remember what I said? Here's how this applies in this situation. It truly is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and I think that's important to recognize. Wisdom isn't just something we do on our own and gain on our own. It is something the Holy Spirit is present with us to provide us. Just make ourselves open up to us. The second source of wisdom is really the number one source that we have, God's Word itself, the Bible. We have this amazing, wonderful gift of this treasure trove of the knowledge of God. Who he is, what he desires. The Bible is full of examples of people choosing God's wisdom and what happens with them. And it's full of examples of people who don't choose God's wisdom and what happens with them. That's one of the things that gives the Bible such credibility, is that it just gives real life examples of people following either their own heart or following God and what happens and what God does with that. And even how he provides opportunities for repentance and rebirth and regrowth. The Bible remains the top-selling book of all times. It's the most reliable collection of ancient literature we have access to in our world. We have this vast collection of copies of the original manuscripts, many of them dating to just a few decades from the original writing. This is much more accurate than any other ancient writing we have in existence. And that all helps us get a very accurate picture of what was actually written by the authors of the Bible. Before they were even written down, some of the Old Testament texts were preserved by a rich oral tradition where people memorized the stories of the Old Testament and retold them. And all these things were preserved for future generations so we could have an accurate accounting of God's message to mankind. We have access to those texts in so many different languages. Just about every language we're aware of on the planet has a translation of the Bible. And there are people out there, I don't know how often it still occurs, but there have been people who have found tribes that had a language that didn't even have a written form of their language. They developed written forms to translate the Bible into that language. It's accessible in so many ways. We are blessed to have multiple English translations in every style of writing, and it's accessible to us at our fingertips. What a blessing that is. At the same time, we are one of the most biblically illiterate cultures in the world today. Now, that's just a sad comment on our culture right now. There are a lot of us Christians in America who think we know what the Bible says. It's based a lot on things that we've heard people say, or memes we've read, or things we've seen. But do we really know what God's Word says? Do we cherish what God's Word says? This should be something that we pursue What was it that proverb said about wisdom? Get insight. Do not forsake it. Or do not forsake her. She will keep you. Love her. She will guard you. And again, it says this, pursue it. Get insight. This is the beginning of wisdom. Get it. We have access to it in so many ways. If you're not a good reader, you can hear it. You can take it in small chunks. There are so many different plans out there that break it down for you for small chunks day after day. Let's make sure that we're pursuing this ultimate source of wisdom that we have with all of our hearts to embed in our own hearts and minds what God actually says. We have access to a church family of people who would love to discuss it. If there's something that's confusing, that doesn't make sense, we would love to talk to you about it and explore that together so that we can have full access to God's wisdom. Let's make use of all these. Yeah, Larry.
So, I'm a handyman. It's like people call me with problems. You know? And a lot of times, I'll just say, I'm stumped.
Yeah. Nice.
Got an answer.
Praise God, yeah.
It's amazing.
He does answer. Yeah, that's an incredible press testimony. Yeah, you've had that. Yeah. Pat. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Test everything. Take it to God. And that includes your own desires. Yeah.
You're going to cover this one about James 3.
Let's take a look at it. James. So James 3, 13 through 17?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Okay. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Yeah, thank you. That's a very powerful one. How do you know that you or someone else is acting in wisdom? Are you demonstrating these character qualities? Right? And it ties into what you shared with Pat, to test everything. Right? If you have a choice, a decision to make, you're looking for wisdom on it, or people are discussing the wisdom of a situation, are you open to having your beliefs and your ideas tested by others? And say, okay, well, here's what Scripture says, and here's what God, the wisdom that God provides us, and does that match up with what I'm saying? Am I going to be open to that, or am I going to say, no, this is, I believe, God has told me this is the way it is, and no one else can test me on this, right? Has anyone ever experienced that, where somebody says, God told me this is the right way, when everyone else around them is saying, I don't think so, I think Scripture says otherwise. God can hold up to whatever tests, right? And so let's be those kinds of people. Pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere.
I love that God is not afraid to have anybody test it.
Right. Exactly.
I can take whatever you get.
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Yeah. There's such peace in that.
Yeah.
Right?
He
did make us to be curious and to question things, right?
Right.
And there have been so many times in my Christian journey where, as a whole, like I would say universally as Christians, we feel this something in society is pressing against us, and oh no, we have to fight against it. We have to make sure, or we have to cover this up, and we can't. But what am I trying to get at? I'm trying to come up with the words as I'm thinking about this, but we make it into this battle of our way has to be the way, rather than saying, you know what, let's just let God decide. Let's just hold this up to God, and he is going to allow his wisdom be proven, right? We don't have to worry that someone's going to somehow disprove his wisdom. Lynn. Misunderstanding is here for deeper understanding. Yeah. When there's a misunderstanding, that's a sign that there's something we need to explore here. And both sides of the misunderstanding need to be open to saying, okay, what's the truth here? What is the real wisdom here? So that's a good practical tip. If there's a misunderstanding going on, what do we need to learn from this? Both of us. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's that humility. That's the path to wisdom. Yeah, you guys have great insights. This is awesome. The final point I had about seeking wisdom is just prayer. You know, and we've brought that up in many ways as we're talking about wisdom, is just having that openness to say, okay, God, I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do here is. As Larry mentioned, we sometimes is a situation where we have to make a decision or we have to figure out a plan. And sometimes it's just like, I just don't know how to handle this situation that's going on, Lord. And that's the opportunity to pray and ask. As James said, ask. Literally, ask God in that moment, and he will give you wisdom. Trust him in that. Ask with faith. And then act on what he reveals to you. And so often you will find that was God's wisdom. He gave you the answer. Or I've had moments where I'm like, I act on what God is telling me, and then I learn something in the process. And change my direction later. It's just God is available in every moment of the process, right? It's a seeking God's wisdom is an ongoing act, and we can trust that God will give it to us. So, the gift of wisdom. It's an incredible, powerful gift. It requires some humility, constant seeking, and awareness that God knows all, and God gives generously. He will give you knowledge, insight, and direction to live out your life for his sake, demonstrating his character in the process, living in both truth and love as we live out our lives. You are incredibly blessed people, you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, because God has made the path open for you to receive the fullness of God's wisdom. Let's embrace it and seek that gift. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord, we are so grateful to you that you make yourself known to us. You're not hidden and far off. You're not leaving us guessing and wondering if we're going to deserve your wrath or not, Lord. You make yourself available to us. You give us wisdom and insight in so many situations, Lord. May we always be aware that your wisdom is much greater than ours. May we have that humility to keep seeking you and learning from you. May we recognize every moment where we need greater wisdom. May we always be open to learning, to testing things, and discovering your truth, Lord. We want to live in the truth. And we know that you are the source of truth, Lord. Show us your ways. Teach us to pursue you and to pursue your wisdom with every moment. In Jesus' name, amen.